Welcome to the Smart Thinking Podcast. This is my dad, Ted.
Welcome to the Smart Thinking Podcast. I'm your host, Ted Knightsky. Over the course of my life, I have, on occasion, been blinded by my own optimism. I, like you, can get down in the dumps. But for me, it's usually temporary. As a leader, I find that my mindset, words, and actions matter. They inform others so that they look for alternatives to their point of view or attitude. I've also been transformed in the presence of others both intellectually and emotionally. I know the power firsthand of how much influence your friends, colleagues, and herd can have on us. Over the course of my life, I have had one significant weakness, and that was brought to my attention by a participant in a training I ran this past week when they pointed out, albeit indirectly, but got me thinking. They sparked within me an understanding that I want to explore in this episode. That weakness is my regular inability to empathize with people who are constantly creating chaos, disrupting progress, acting like organizational terrorists, or are just plain old grumpy every time there's a need to adjust. I take this buffalo business pretty seriously. And as a reminder, a buffalo is anyone who can charge into a storm optimistically in an effort to challenge whatever they are facing, while a cow is one who sees the storm, stares at it, wishes it would disappear, and then eventually just starts walking away from it, but as a result is stuck in the storm longer, enduring more pain and reinforcing their pessimistic mindset with an "I told you so" kind of swagger. These people drive me nuts. But when they get under my skin, it's not always their fault. Sometimes it's my fault. And I'm guessing that you're listening to this podcast because sometimes people like that bug you a little bit as well. A few years ago, I was in an audience listening to a behavioral psychologist whose name I have forgotten, but her message I have not. We were at a conference on organizational processes. Sounds exciting, doesn't it? But I went into a breakout session on dealing with difficult people. I was pretty excited and fired up to get tips and tools on how to address those within my life that were really bothering me, undermining our organization, and just plain old pains in the patoot. She started out, like all academics, running us through all of her education and publications, but then she had us do something that completely shifted how I look at people. She had us do an exercise, and I'm going to ask you to do the same one once I explain it. Here it is. She asked us to write down all the things about ourselves we didn't like. Now, this is not the things like your eyebrows, but I did write that down. It's your own behaviors that you don't care for in yourself. I remember really being floored by this request because I thought, I'm here to learn about how to deal with the behaviors of others I don't like. I actually remember having like a mini fit, thinking, maybe I just walked into the wrong room here. The speaker, she could sense in the room that others were feeling like me, and she restated, please just take a few minutes to write down the behaviors about yourself that you don't like. So I started scribbling down a bulleted list of things I didn't like about myself, and it wasn't easy, but I kept that list, and here's what I wrote down. I don't like it when I give up, when I don't know the answer, when I lose my temper, when I'm short with people I care for and love, when I don't feel in control, when I am proud, when I judge others, when I feel ignorant in a situation, and when I am overly sensitive about not feeling appreciated. She gave us a good amount of time to write these out. Now, before I go on, I want you to do this exercise. It was a powerful self-reflection, and it'll help you understand the next lesson. She asked us to review our list, and then she dropped a truth bomb. I remember this very clearly because it has helped me as a father, a spouse, a colleague, a coach, a friend, and a leader. Here's what she said. It is the behaviors we least like about ourselves that trigger an impatience and lack of tolerance we have in others. In other words, what we can't deal with about ourselves, we really struggle with when we see them in other people. After she said this to us, I had emotional clarity that I had never had before. It's kind of like when I get a new prescription for my glasses. I could see everything. I was like, holy buffalo. All of the things I work on about myself, when I see them in others, I have no patience for them and zero ability to work forward positively with them when they act like, when they act like what I don't like about me. So I barely have the energy to deal with myself when I do that, let alone the energy to deal with others when they act like that. Boy, I especially saw this for me when I was a father. Especially when I would see things in my kids that I didn't like about myself. It would put me on the edge. For me, one of my biggest triggers is when people quit on themselves. I can't stand it. Have I done it? Yeah, but I haven't in a really long time because I think about it often. But this weird feeling boils up within me when I see others do it. When I see people within organizations try to recruit their colleagues to be negative or to disrupt innovations or get other people to quit, I have to leave the room for fear of turning into a buffalo and running them over. What do we do when we come across organizational cows? People who, regardless of what is going on, try to slow it down, bring a cloud over the idea, or simply come to the situation with the intent not even to let the new thing happen. We have to see past what irritates us, and that's what I learned that day. And we have to work to understand how cow mindsets are and navigate through them, hopefully not just by ourselves, but with them. There are two considerations here as we move forward. The first is that the only way to fundamentally change the behavior of others is to first change your own. That's a little ditty from Carl Jung. The second is to fuel your empathy. So here are a few empathy tools and ideas for you. The first is that people who create chaos in your world are doing so in an effort to maintain control. That's right. They're actually disrupting everything so that they can keep the status quo. In systems, we often see these disruptions as intentional behaviors being employed in an effort to undermine us or others, which is exactly what they are. This can be a kid in a classroom, or a teacher in the lounge, or a colleague in the boardroom. Wherever and whomever, people who create conflict and chaos are doing so in an overall effort to maintain control. As a result, we have to work to understand why they are doing so, and it is most likely a result of their own anxieties concerning their life or change. One of my life mentors once said to me, "Ted, leaders are not in the business of rehabilitating people." Now, I agree with that statement, but I have come to believe that I am in the business of constantly rehabilitating myself in an effort to serve others. Knowing now that the behaviors that we don't like about ourselves impacts our mindset and tolerance for others, let's look at some of the behaviors of pessimists and anxious cows that may irritate you, but hopefully you'll, at least now, understand them tomorrow. To this, I want to share with you a second and more recent truth bomb. It comes from a book I recently featured in my weekly TH3. The book is entitled Feeling Great by Dr. David Burns. This one is one of those texts that weighs like 10 pounds. It's a dense read, but it's a great read. He lays out a very clear way of thinking that completely fuels the buffalo mindset, helps you address what you're worrying about, your anxieties, and determine whether or not you're in a funk or if you're truly depressed. However, he also shows us the core behaviors or mind frames for anxiety and how that can set people into a cycle that may be hard to get out of. Again, the only way we can support a cow to shift to being more buffalo is to understand some of the underlying behaviors. Now, I'm no expert, but I have worked with and I support a lot of people. And when a truth bomb goes off, we exploit it. The new knowledge, especially, is something we need to take advantage of and work to better understand people who we may deem, as I call them, pains from my assumptions. Anxiety is a real issue for leaders to face, both within themselves and others. And when I read Burns' book, I kept thinking, people who lead usually take on their anxieties, and that takes a lot of energy. And once they've recovered from taking on their own personal anxieties, it's a difficult road to address the anxieties of others. But they run into others who are freaking out, and then the leader themselves, well, we have no tolerance for them while they're freaking out because we just got over it ourselves. But they are seeing the behaviors and anxieties in others that they also don't like about themselves. And then conflict emerges. Now, in order to understand the mindset of people who struggle with anxiety, let's look at Burns and how he describes some of the driving behaviors found within people. He calls them cognitive distortions. Cognitive distortions, which he defines as highly misleading ways of thinking about yourself or the world. It's kind of a way of fooling yourself, he says. Some of you may have learned about this a while ago, but, and I hate to be late to the party, I found a totally new way of looking at anxiety and then looping it back into the ability to be empathetic for others so that we can deal with people who are under our care. And this is important. He has identified 10 cognitive distortions, and I want to focus on two of them just to give you a good understanding of what they are, because I believe this will help you understand the differences between people intentionally being difficult versus people who struggle with cognitive distortions. First, the first one is mental filtering. People with mental filtering issues, they filter or ignore the positives and focus entirely on the negatives. They literally push them out, the positives. Oh, that's no good. He states it's like a drop of ink in a beaker, and it discolors the entire container of water and their view. No matter what the situation, this way of behaving always sees nothing but the negatives. Mental filtering, remember that. Have you ever been around people like this? Yeah, me too. They drive me nuts. It doesn't matter what we're talking about. Oh, that was a pretty good pizza. Well, I don't know. It could have been bigger. It could have had more cheese on it. What? That was a great pizza. But what if we changed? What if the other person can't help it? Well, as a leader, it's our job to help them see the negatives, and that's only part of the story in the equation. It's only a very small part of the narrative. We've got to see the way to the positive. Now, the second cognitive distortion is discounting the positive. I run into people like this all the time who think I'm a lunatic. Discount the positive. This, as he states, is a spectacular mental error. You continue to tell yourself that your positive qualities or successes don't count, that they don't matter. You convince yourself that you are completely bad, inferior, or worthless. What? No wonder some people walk into every environment and are upset, negative, and dissatisfied with everything. They are struggling with cognitive distortions and need some help, help way beyond what we can support, but yet we can accomplish with them. As I read Burns' book, I kept seeing people in my past that I had discounted and I was frustrated with, and now I look at them in a totally different light. What if these people who were acting like cows out there, what if they can't get past it? What if they're beyond stuck? What if they're ill? When we have headaches, we seek medical solutions, and others immediately have empathy because we've all had headaches. But what about anxiety and depression and the impact that has on leadership? If I'm running around Buffalo all the time and there are people in the herd who have cognitive distortions and need help because their heart and head aren't in alignment, what should we do? Well, I first say that you should read the book because it will shift your mindset, your mind frame, and build empathy. It walks through step by step how to support others and yourself. There are a ton of scoring guides. It's the most interactive text I've ever read. You're constantly taking assessments to determine where you're at, or you can take them how you perceive others. Two ideas that have collided here. First, what we don't like in ourselves, we can't tolerate in others. And the second is that mental health and cognitive distortions play a role in the behaviors of other people that we don't necessarily know how to navigate around. As leaders, we need to be empathetic, and it is critical for us to be on the lookout for ways to support others. As leaders, we need to find ways to lead others to get the help they need to move forward and engage the changes that the world throws at us. Are there people out there that are just being a pain in your organization? Yes, but I believe that most people want to do a good job, and we as leaders need to build our own tolerance for the behaviors that bug us by working to close the gaps in knowledge, support rewriting the narratives and conclusions that people may have pessimistically acquired, and when we recognize that people may be stuck in a cycle of cognitive distortions, we guide them to help them to get them what they need instead of discounting them and writing them off. People get stuck. And in our current world, where we are surrounded by a fog of sadness because of COVID, maybe we need to look at those we serve in a new light, a balanced light, and get people the help they need so that they shed the pessimism and join us as we charge into the storm. So let's do some smart thinking. List the behaviors about yourself that you don't care for and compare them to your triggers. Read and analyze the book, Feeling Great, by David Burns, and describe how you can support others who may be working through cognitive distortions. That's it. That's the Smart Thinking Podcast. As always, thank you for listening, and please share and rate this episode, especially if you listen on iTunes. Can you please, please take a second and rate this episode for me or any other episode? Please. Also, thank you to the Wellpennies for their great music, and go to the Wellpennies website now to pre-order their newest album coming out in October. Finally, I was a little hesitant to do this episode because I think that pessimism, I think it's a real problem. But lately, I've been seeing people shoot right from pessimism, actually shoot right past pessimism, and go down right to defeatism. I referred to a fog of sadness that has covered a lot of us during this pandemic, and frankly, I'm sick of thinking about it and talking about it. But it's the reality, so we got to charge into it. It is a global threat, and when we compound that threat with the fact that so many people are struggling with rapid and unpredictable paces and changes, maybe, just maybe, the Buffalo behavior here for us leaders is to charge into empathy and run back to support those cows. I have a hard time giving up on people, and frankly, I enjoy a good opportunity to take on a pessimist. But now, with all things considered and our learning today, it may not be about taking them on, but taking them under your wing and getting them the help they need. A leader is anyone who has influence over another person, and there are a lot of people who need us to show them a pathway to the future. For some, that may be just recognizing that their negative mindset is one way of looking at it, and we need to broaden their perspectives. Leaders can do a lot by maintaining optimism, guiding people to the resources and support they need, and most of all, buffaloing with empathy, so that we can help those who need it most, those that bug us, because they are most like us.
It seems these days blues covered up in a cloud and a blanket of grays. And I know it's fine, but I feel a lot better with you in a bottle of wine. Every color's faded, everyone is waiting on. There's a song horizon, just you wait and see. Won't you take my hand and shake the world with me? Shake the world with me. This heart in me feels like a feather but hurts like the sting of a bee. And I know it's fine, cause I can bring the rattle in you, you can bring that shine. Every color's fading, everyone is waiting on. There's a song horizon, just you wait and see. Won't you take my hand and shake the world with me? Shake the world with me. Faded, everyone is waiting on. There's a song horizon, just you wait and see. Won't you take my hand and shake the world with me? There's a song horizon, just you wait and see. Won't you take my hand and shake the world with me? Shake the world with me. Shake the world with me.